Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. With the Trump administration choosing very conservative appointees to cabinet positions, there appears to be a nationwide conservative swing. A new moral atmosphere where conservative values that were not allowed to be discussed in the public square previously are now being entertained. For example, Congress is pushing back against the new transgender congressman from Delaware, his demand to use the women's restroom. Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina, is also demanding that she has the right not to have men use her restroom. That just because Tim McBride cross-dresses and thinks he's a woman doesn't override Nancy Mace's rights. Now, this may seem like just a little scruffle, but it represents a big shift. The way it's being approached overturns the leftist narrative and the power that they have wielded over the last decade. Congress will likely pass a bill prohibiting transgenders using women's bathrooms at the Capitol. Here's another story. Wisconsin City School Board votes for bathroom and sports sanity over gender lunacy. Now, of course, the left is pushing back against this with lawsuits. But with the new Trump administration coming to Washington, and with every one of Trump's cabinet picks promising to end transgender ideology and DEI, it's empowering and strengthening God-fearing people to speak up and push back. Last week, James Comer, Republican congressman from Kentucky, held congressional hearings over unlawful DEI programs in the federal government, showing DEI programs for what they are, cultural Marxism and racial discrimination, not racial equality. These hearings would never have happened if the Democrats controlled Congress. Jasmine Crockett, a Black Democrat congresswoman from Texas, responded in anger that the Republicans wanted to do away with DEI. And that's because she is misled, like so many others, to believe that DEI is about racial equality, when it's not. It's about LGBTQI. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer ideology. It's all about demanding moral equivalency. Inclusion is about including sexual deviance. It's Ezekiel chapter 22. They make no distinction between the clean and the unclean. Anyway, here's an article by Jamie Joseph with Fox News. State lawmakers and companies prepare to push back against DEI woke initiatives. Subtitle, DEI is a multi-billion dollar industry that pushed a left-wing ideology, says one expert. Quote, some state lawmakers and companies will be preparing to roll back major diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI policies that are present in nearly every major U.S. industry, including the military, according to experts and a Republican attorney general. The incoming Trump administration will likely target many DEI initiatives. In 2020, then-President Trump issued an executive order to ban divisive training for federal contractors in the area of DEI. And the House Oversight Committee held a hearing this week about dismantling DEI policies. Devin Westhill, a constitutional and civil rights attorney, said in an interview, it's a multi-billion dollar industry that pushes a left-wing, far-left ideological orthodoxy in essentially every area of American life, which is why I've begun to call it the DEI enterprise instead of just DEI, so that people have a sense of what I'm talking about. Over the last 4 years, the Biden-Harris administration has encouraged DEI initiatives across several sectors of the federal government. In 2021, Biden widened an executive order directing agencies to assess and remove barriers to equal opportunity through DEI policies. Another executive order signed that year was a government-wide initiative to embed DEI principles in federal hiring. The Department of Education has also released reports encouraging DEI on public university campuses. The Biden-Harris administration also invested in DEI programs within the U.S. military. Large corporations across the United States have also adopted DEI workplace policies, including Johnson & Johnson, MasterCard, Marriott, Ernst & Young, Target, Google, Bank of America, etc. It wasn't so much a dollar and cents motivation for these corporations. Will Hild, executive director of consumer research, told Fox News Digital in an interview, "You had it coming from the federal government, where if you wouldn't go along with under the Biden administration with the DEI regime, they were threatening to sue you or claim that you're violating civil rights, the minorities." And so it was more a combination of threats of bad press and government action against these corporations. Hild said that he expects to see over the next year many red state attorneys start suing these corporations for hiring based on racial quotas. Consumers have also suffered as a result of DEI policies. He said that it shifted companies' focus away from the quality of goods, unquote. So what's important to note here is that this was pushed by the government, by the Biden administration, by the state. And this is just another reminder that civil leaders become either moral leaders or immoral leaders for a country. They set the moral climate. In the Old Testament, the kings of Israel would either turn the people back to God or turn them back to evil again. So let's not underestimate the God-given role of civil government to be a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on those who practice evil. You know, you think of New York City and you think it's bad today. Back in the 1970s, the murder rate was over 2,000 per year. There were muggings and thefts everywhere. The city was like Gotham, and Penguin was the mayor. And then Rudy Giuliani became mayor in 1994, and the crime rate plummeted because he brought back law and order. You know, it's just amazing what a little bit of law enforcement would do. Because in most cases, it's really a group of less than 10,000 people who are causing all of the crimes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. "Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil." Now, I don't believe Giuliani was the primary cause for the reduction in crime. You know, I attribute it mostly to the mini spiritual revival America had in the 1980s with the new moral majority and new Christian media and programming and focus on the family. You know, God raised up Giuliani to take care of the civil government end of things. But take, for example, the opposite situation where the government actually promotes decay in the culture, such as the failure of Ahaz in 2 Chronicles 28:19, "For the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord." Also, the influence of civil and social leaders are described in Jeremiah 23, verse 14, "And they strengthened the hands of evildoers." That's what government can do sometimes. "So that no one turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah." But now, with the new Trump administration, seems like the pendulum is swinging in the conservative direction. Especially with many red states and companies and universities getting rid of their DEI initiatives and their DEI officers, also the public turning against illegal immigration, turning against deficit spending and big government. You know, even the overturning of Roe versus Wade 2 years ago was a dramatic change. And we have five conservative Supreme Court justices, and that's a miracle. Here are some other developments. Elon Musk purchasing Twitter. And now conservatives have a major platform without censorship. Also, the leftist cable news channel, MSNBC, is up for sale because the audience was so small. And Comcast is getting rid of it. And likely will be gone a whole bunch of leftist pundits. Cenk Uygur, the host of the leftist site, The Young Turks, is now criticizing the Democrat Party for being undemocratic and trying to align himself with people like Elon Musk. The federal government is also asking a judge to break up the Google monopoly, which will be a great thing, especially if they're forced to sell off YouTube. Elon and Vivek's Department of Government Efficiency is planning to end all government support for Planned Parenthood. This last week, some conservative sites made an issue of Congresswoman AOC removing her own politically correct pronouns from her website. Now, obviously, she's not changing her position, but the right sees in this another sign of the left going into hiding. Let's see what else is happening here. A number of prominent leftists, such as Don Lemon and Jussie Smollett, say that they're leaving Twitter now, that it's dominated by conservative thought. And in this, leftists are actually abandoning their platform for social influence. Here's another article from the Daily Wire, The Collapse of the Elites. Another article from NPR, The Downfall of DEI. Here's an article from Forbes last year. Is DEI officially dead? Quote, for the last few years, it seems that the anti-DEI sentiment has gained traction. The Supreme Court's decision to end affirmative action, strip away LGBTQIA plus rights, has furthered the DEI hate train. The critiques of DEI have been escalating. In 2020, President Trump issued a diversity training ban. And almost 3 years later, conservatives are hoping to limit corporate DEI efforts. The chief diversity officer for Virginia recently stated that DEI is dead. Now, those articles might be premature, but it still reflects what people are seeing in the culture. But here's the question. Could we be seeing a major moral turnaround in America? And at this point, it's really good to insert Trump's infamous winning speech.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much. I love you all.
I love that clip. It's just good satirical humor. But is it true? Will conservatives win? Now, of course, we know God's people and God wins in the end. But what about now in the short term? What about the future of America? Now, if you are of a post-millennial persuasion, you're expecting Christendom 2.0. While the 20th century was the century of secularism, the expectation is that the 21st century will eventually usher in a return to God. It's postulated that the world has to experience the insanity of paganism before it once again returns to God, like it returned in the days of the Reformation. Now, if you're premillennial and take a futuristic interpretation of the biblical book of the Revelation, you see a coming apocalypse on the horizon. So at best, what's happening now in America is merely a temporary reprieve, a stopgap measure to hold America together for a little while for the sake of God's program, the church. Now, there's actually a third interpretation in regard to what's happening, And that's that Donald Trump and the Republicans are actually the apocalypse. They are the evil. And they will bring in the apocalypse. They're the deception. They're leftist plants. Because their conservatism is mixed with the same autonomy from God as leftists, they actually are leftists. And I've discussed that position at length a couple of weeks ago, where some Christians expect perfection before they'll rejoice or support any movement. Also, some predict that Trump's second term will be a miserable failure and hurt the cause of Christ. And these individuals say this because they believe that Christians need to learn not to trust in or idolize political leaders like Trump. Now, we all know that Christians shouldn't look to man for deliverance. You know, and I'm not convinced that Christians are so naive. So, therefore, Trump's second term may not need to fail just to teach that lesson. Well, regardless of which view you take on the current situation and in regard to what the future holds, this we do know. It's obvious that the hand of God raised up a fighter like Donald Trump. With the support of the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, to move the country in a conservative direction, to toss out of power many woke, leftist, Marxist politicians, bureaucrats, judges. Study the book of Judges. God would raise up civic leaders to put Israel back on the right track. And they weren't righteous prophets. They were firebrands who overthrew evil people. And by the way, all of the judges, like Gideon or Samson or Jephthah, received opposition from their own people, the Jews. They wanted to put Gideon to death for challenging the Baal worship and the rule of the Midianites. The Jews themselves turned Samson over to the Philistines to be killed, because the majority of the Jews in Israel cowered and capitulated to the leftist elites in that day. They were too fearful to take on the evil of the culture. They just wanted to make nice. You know, this week I was discussing with another pastor the role of Constantine the Great, who in AD 313 legalized Christianity in the Roman Empire and put an end to the persecution. This was a huge ideological shift in the Roman Empire and the whole world at that time. And the shift was led by the emperor. But of course, the groundwork was laid by the teaching and evangelism of the church for the previous 200 years. Now, if you talk to Reformed theologians, Constantine was a hero. But if you talk to some Baptists, especially the separation of church and state, Roger Williams type Baptists, Constantine was a devil because he allegedly infiltrated the church with worldliness by making the state more Christian in its function and support. But if you were living in AD 313, you wouldn't have been such an ideological, intellectual dunce. The Roman Empire was murdering thousands of Christians, and Constantine put a stop to that. And that's a good thing. He wasn't a tool of the devil. He was like the Old Testament character Cyrus, that God had raised up to protect the program of God. Or like Artaxerxes, who saved the Jews in Persia. Or like Nebuchadnezzar, who was converted and protected the Jews in Babylon. So as far as Constantine, as far as his spiritual immaturity and his doctrinal errors, well, that was something the church could also address as it arose. But that didn't take away from the good that Constantine did. And the fact that the government of Rome was moving in a God-honoring direction. So it's evident that we are seeing a little conservative swing here in America. But, you know, one thing to notice is that it's not directly accompanied by the influence of certain Christian evangelists like Moody or Whitfield or Edwards or Wesley. Like during America's first and second Great Awakenings, where there was religious revival behind political change. It certainly doesn't appear like America is having a third Great Awakening, spiritual revival. However, don't underestimate the massive work behind the scenes of Christians in America seeking to teach God's truth and lead America back to God, because God is hearing their prayers. And if we were to look back at American history, the so-called Great Awakenings, they're often embellished by Christian historians. They weren't as visible as they were depicted. While Edwards and Whitfield and Wesley were conducting their evangelistic meetings, it was certainly noticed by the churches. But those spiritual movements were overshadowed by all of the other worldly activities going on in the major cities. Even the Reformation is glamorized. In reality, it was one big theological mess. I mean, it wasn't as if Calvin or Luther or Zwingli or Tyndale were the darlings of the culture, as if they were calling the shots. The end of popery, as it's called, wasn't produced directly by Christian evangelists. It came by scoundrels like Henry VIII and a number of other European princes who got tired of the Pope and the influence of Italy over the rest of Europe. And the majority of the conservative movement today is only tangentially spiritual. It's failing to direct people back to the authority of God and Scripture. Instead, it's all about personal freedom and common sense. But that's the way it's always been in this world. God's people have always been in a minority. And cultural shifts toward the right have always been flawed with wrong motives. Now, certainly we need to recognize those flaws and try to correct those flaws, but nevertheless appreciate when the culture moves to the right and when God reestablishes his authority in even small ways. Everything in this world is temporary, it's flawed, until Christ returns and makes all things new. So next year, America will be celebrating her 250th anniversary. Will it be a deception? Will it be an illusion? Will it be when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them? Or will it be the beginning of a few more good years for America? So I want to close with this biblical teaching, this Bible study. We don't know. And we're not supposed to know. We know some general truths concerning God's ultimate plan for this world, but the specifics are always going to be a surprise for us. Just when we're ready for the apocalypse to start, there's going to come a reprieve, and evil's overthrown, and just when we expect a revival, sometimes wickedness comes to power. Nations unexpectedly rise and fall. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6. Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build it up or to plant it. The main verse I want us to consider is found in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes being the Christian philosophy of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16. When I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on earth, even though one should never sleep day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not discover. And though the wise man say, I know, he cannot discover. The works of God refer to the specific details of God's program in this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 19. Who knows whether a fool or a wise man will arise? God keeps everyone guessing so that they would continually look to him. And the pundits, or even Christian teachers, who believe they can predict what will happen, don't know what they profess to know. A friend sent me this link. Top NATO officials call on business leaders to prepare for a wartime scenario. And we've heard that before. Ecclesiastes 10:14. Yet the fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? So we should prepare for all contingencies. Note the following scriptural text. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. In other words, the wise will not be able to figure out, or they will not expect what is about to transpire. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your day, you would not believe it if you were told. Also, Acts chapter 13, verse 41. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel, and perish. For I'm accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you'll never believe, though someone should describe it to you. That's a quote from Habakkuk. So, when it comes to God's work, expect the unexpected. Especially if you have these scriptural texts in mind to help you form a worldview in this regard. You know, 10 years ago, nobody knew Trump would appear on the scene and have the audacity to challenge the status quo. Nobody thought Elon Musk would come into such wealth and such influence and then work to take down the deep state. And nobody knows how this is all going to work out. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7. If no one knows what will happen, who can tell him when it will happen? And Job chapter 5, verse 13. He, God, captures the wise by their own shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. As in Luke chapter 12, the rich man, as soon as he begins to think, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God says to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. But you say, wait a minute, what about Amos chapter 3, verse 7? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. And those men who claim to have prophetic ministries are always pulling out Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Well, yes, it's true that the prophets of God are often given special insight into what's to come. Noah is foretold of the coming flood. Abraham, concerning the destruction of Sodom. Joseph, the seven-year famine. But the emphasis in the New Testament is that Christians need to simply operate on the general will of God revealed through the apostles. The Word of God is supposed to be our guidebook. And in the Word of God, we have everything we need for life and godliness. My audio guy at the church recently told me, he said that he was praying for a MAGA sweep. Yet I wasn't even praying that specifically. I was praying that righteousness and Christ would be exalted in the land. Because in my experience, that sometimes requires a nation to be overthrown. I just have the general knowledge of what God wants to do in this world and what are God's ultimate goals. And all the specifics actually become a surprise for me. So the question is, what is God doing through Donald Trump? I don't know. I don't need to know. But I'm sure of this. It's going to work out for the building up of the church, for the salvation of more souls, for the program of God to raise up Israel for the last days and for the eventual judging of the nations. My exhortation to you is to sit back, to enjoy, and to marvel at the works of God in this world. Expect the unexpected. Psalm chapter 46. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Thanks for listening. Thanks for loving the word. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.